Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Hoskins, and with me is not Ian Torrance. For the first time in a long time, Ian has dropped the ball. He decided to go and learn a magic trick instead of coming and being on here to talk about She-Hulk. But that's okay, because we are definitely in a better situation without him here, because instead we have, from the Caption Live, Sean Winningham. Sean, how's it going, man?
Not too bad, man. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for being here, for filling in for Ian.
You know, I have to say, earlier I went on TikTok and I got like 22 notifications. I was like, oh my gosh, is a video blowing up? No, it's because the silver screen scoundrels liked all my videos. I was like, dang it.
So Colonel Bob Tingle runs the Silver Screen Scoundrel account and he's learning how to do TikTok. I got on TikTok earlier this afternoon and I had 200 likes and I freaked out. And then I did the same thing. I was like, Bob went through and just liked all of my videos. I bet he didn't even watch them. I bet he just swipe like. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So he was on a TikTok binge today, apparently. So it worked out.
Yeah.
Oh my. All right. Well, Sean, I'm glad you're here. We're going to talk about She-Hulk episode 7. I'm going to let you kind of start us out. I know that you didn't love the last two episodes. What'd you think about this one? Did it bounce back?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's not been connecting with me is I don't mind it being episodic by any means, but I think the last two just felt like if you pulled it out of the series, it didn't really contribute to a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Now, by the time we get to the end of the series, maybe it does, because it kind of alluded to it a little bit with Intelligentsia and everything as well, too. But I will also admit that when I watched the last two episodes, I had woke up like really early in the morning, like god awful, like 4 a.m. or something like that. And I couldn't fall back asleep. So I watched it. So I probably was watching like really tired. I'm just like, I just want to go to sleep, you know? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't really enthralled by it. I think by the end of the episode, I was just like, okay. But this one I thought was just really well done. I really liked it. It was, you know, it had everything, you know, it had you rooting for Jen, it had you feeling bad for Jen, and it had some really great characters, some really good character development, had some great humor in it. And overall, I just thought it was really good and I really liked it. It felt like it was bouncing back. And now that we get into the end of the season, I think it's going to start picking up more too.
Yeah, I agree on the last couple of episodes. The last one especially, that was the first one that I sat down and I thought that was fun, but I don't like using the word filler, but it felt like what people would refer to as a filler episode. Right. And, you know, like you said, in hindsight, looking at it, it did actually introduce some things. You know, it introduced us to the Josh character, introduced us to the Intelligentsia. But other than that, it was just kind of there. And I enjoyed it. But this episode, I went right back to loving. I think that the humor in this worked really well for me. The quote unquote action that we had in this episode was funny and enjoyable. The two characters, Bullman and Mamble, and who was the Spanish? I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think he said his name only a couple of times, but I couldn't understand it was because it was in Spanish.
Spanish accent,
I don't know Spanish at all. So I couldn't repeat it, to be honest. And I wouldn't want to try it unless I looked it up and everything.
The Spanish character who dressed like a matador, but was not a matador. But I do want to say that
matador.
Manbull. For anybody that's not aware, that actor's name is Nathan Hurd. He actually has a phenomenal TikTok channel that I've been following for like 2 years. I didn't realize. I watched this episode this morning. I thought, man, that really sounds like him. And so I had to Google it because, of course, he's got the prosthetics on his face, and it was him. So good on him. So if you're on TikTok, follow Nathan Hurd Comedy. It's a good time. But I really enjoyed the comedy in this. And while at the same time I was laughing, I was also dealing with the rejection that Jim was feeling. And I love that they actually spelled out the point of the show to me in this point. Or in this episode, when she finally had her moment in the meeting where she let everything out and she said how she was feeling about She-Hulk and how Jen is. I feel like that's been the whole point of this show, is her coming to terms with who she is now versus who she used to be. Right. And I think that it was a really well executed scene. I lost a word for scene. It was a really well executed scene where it really was going into what she was feeling, why she was feeling the way she was, and it was heartbreaking at the same time as, you know, just a fun scene. And that's one thing that I think they've been doing really well in this show overall. And I think Tatiana Maslany is fantastic as always. And so I can't say enough good things about this episode, especially the guy from the Wrecking Crew showing up and being truly repentant. Like I don't know about you, but through this entire episode I was waiting on one of them to turn on her,
right?
Like the whole episode.
That's exactly what I thought too. Yeah,
I really did. I thought that it's going to be either Abomination, one of them. Maybe I thought Porcupine was going to pull out one of those quills and it was going to be the needle from last week. He was going to stab her with it. I was on edge, and it kept me on edge while at the same time making me laugh out loud throughout the episode. I thought that was brilliant.
I felt the same way, especially with everything that was leading up, even to the last part of the episode when she was in the yurtin.
Oh yeah, the sweat yurt.
Yeah, I had thought, like, because everything just felt like it was a scheme to get Jen's blood at that point, right? You know, and so that's what I had said in my TikTok that I made today, is all the way up to that point I just felt like it was all plot. It was all a scheme because it just felt like that way. And again, I think it's a genius way to go either way with Emil Blonsky and everybody else. Is like, you know, it could still be he's reformed, or it could still be like false security make you think it is, and then right. In hindsight he's still playing, you know, some sort of back game chess or something like that that you don't see because he's thinking about the bigger picture and all that. So but yeah, I mean, it just, everything felt like it was a trap, and by the end of it you're just like, oh, okay, it's not a trap, and then you find out like what was going on. So yeah,
and I think, you know, for the longest time since they marketed this show, I've been thinking that Abomination was playing a game. I think that now they may not be doing that. I think they really may have. Now, I don't think for a second that he'd never be a villain again, because if you get the leader in there, if you get this intelligentsia in there, they could mess with him, you know, make him lose control of Abomination, and he's right back to being a villain. And I think that they might actually do that. I think that it may be something where he actually has reformed and then something happens to him. So now he becomes a tragic villain, even more, because they already set that up in his parole hearing where we saw a different point of view where it was like, well, no, I thought I was going to become Captain America. And now here he is. He's finally dealt with all that. And he's living this dream life in this beautiful place where he's actually helping other people. And then for him to be forced back into becoming the Abomination, I think that would be a really poignant story to tell. Now, whether that's what they're doing or not, I don't know.
Right.
But I've turned the corner on thinking that he's playing the system. I actually believe him. So if he is, then he's doing a great job. But
I know. Well, and I can see them maybe using Thunderbolts as the way to. I think there's a good chance he may show up in Thunderbolts. I don't know how much, but I think there's a good chance that he might. And if he does, I could see that being kind of the turning point where, because he had turned to Abomination again and everything, that he might turn back into a villain after all those things. Like, think about how, you know, Hulk flew away after Age of Ultron, right? And I could see that happening with Thunderbolts, where because of some sort of traumatic event that happened to him, that he ends up, you know, deciding to turn back to evil for whatever reason. So Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and maybe they won't. Maybe they really will just be like, you know, we wanted to pay off the Abomination character and this is what it is. And now he just has a self-help retreat and a parole officer that's terrified of him, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah. Well, and realistically, I mean, you know, the actor that plays him, he's getting up in age. Right. So they're probably like, you know, we might want to let the sun set on this one. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that might be what they're doing. As far as Thunderbolts go, I don't think for a second that was our full lineup of Thunderbolts. I think we're still going to get more characters. And I do still think that he'll have a part to play in that. I think it makes I agree with you there. I think it makes sense. Josh, I want to talk about Josh. Because screw Josh. So I went from being really scared that Josh was like kidnapped or dead in a ditch somewhere to when they get to the end, hoping that that's what happened to him. Like when they go back and they do the 3 days later, I was just thinking, boy, somebody better snatch this man up as he's leaving. Somebody better get him. Something bad. And then it was just like, oh man.
Yeah.
I like
you. Feel bad for Jen.
I know. They've done such a good job of making me care about her.
Yeah. I mean, because that's what it came down to is that, you know, just like what she says, she finally, you know, met somebody that liked her as Jennifer and not as She-Hulk. And now it's like that's happened. You know, she's back to square one. And I'm sure her, you know, her self-esteem will go down if she finds out about the truth and everything. And so it's just, you know, you're hoping that, you know, at some point she comes to realize that, you know, being in a relationship is more like an added bonus as opposed to that should be your, you know, identity and worth and everything. Right. And I'm hoping that they can kind of show that as a payoff and everything. And that if she does end up, you know, meeting somebody, that's great. But now, you know, just like what we saw with today's episode, that it's not, you know, all the eggs in one basket based on this one relationship that you have and everything. And I get it too, that, you know, that's a big part of the dating life and everything as well too. But it's like when things like this happen, it's you're really hoping that, you know, it's somebody that it will be a good guy and treat her and everything right, and comes, you know, it's going to do damage to her self-esteem. You hate to see that happen.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's probably where they're going to go, because they each episode I feel like they've been leaning into, like I said earlier, her coming to terms with who she is now,
right,
and being okay with both versions of herself,
right?
Because the explanation she gave about, you know, the friend in high school that was better than you in every way and you were always jealous, well, now that's me and it's not who I want to be. And so I do think that they're going to hopefully go in that direction where she realizes that she doesn't have to rely on that portion of like her dating life as her, and she's just happy with who she is. Because again, I think that's the whole point of the show, is her just being okay with who she is. And then the superhero stuff they threw in because it's a Marvel show and because that's what She-Hulk is. Yeah. She, you know, I have not read a lot of She-Hulk comics, but from what I have read of her, she's her character. She's who she is. And then some crazy superheroic stuff happens and she's got to deal with that. And then she goes back to being, you know, who she is.
Right.
And so I think that that's what and I think that's one of the reasons why people are having such a problem with the show. Because they're bringing in this element now towards the end of building the story around this intelligentsia, which I think is only there to set up future things. I don't think it really has much to do with this. Like I think
maybe not.
I think that the leader is in charge of this thing. I think that this is setting it. I think this is all set up for getting the leader back into Marvel, into the MCU, to a place where he can then become the villain of New World Order, because they announced him as the villain of New World Order, but we've never seen him as a villain. He's just been a scientist. Right. And so I think this would be a great show to introduce him. And so I think the reason why they're putting that in there is because it's a Marvel show. They've got to do something to, you know, push things forward. So I don't think that intelligentsia or anything like that is going to be a major part of this show. And I just think it's set up. And maybe that's a detriment, but I have no problem with that, because I mean, I enjoy the story they're telling about Jen and her journey. I don't really care about what's going on in the background. So I don't know. Has it been bothering you that over these last couple episodes, it seems like as an afterthought, they're kind of building up this hidden threat?
I think one of the things that this show is suffering from is that there isn't an underlying plot that's holding everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for example, Titania. Like, we still don't right. know a whole lot about her backstory other than she's a superpowered social influencer. But we don't know why she busted into that courtroom. And maybe they'll do this by the end of the season. Who knows? My guess is probably not, because there's been... Every show, there's been something where I'm like, I hope they address this later, and they just don't. And they
just don't.
Yeah, and they just, you know, and sometimes it's fine. This one, mm-hmm. I just feel like that one just still seems out of place. That's almost like a plot device just to have her as part of the show. But, you know, they have her bust into the courtroom without any explanation. She shows up a couple of times. And, yeah, it's kind of like a comedy, like, rivalry type of thing. But I think it would have helped. It would help to know a little bit more about her rather than she's just a superhero social influencer. And so with this whole show, I think that a lot of it is loose, and I'm not against things being episodic, but when you look at shows that are episodic, there is something that kind of holds everything together that helps
right.
moves the show forward, you know, like whether it's a sitcom or a drama or anything like that, there's something like towards the end of the episode that says, you know, this is what's happening. So episode, I think 5 is when we got the Daredevil helmet and everything.
Yeah.
And She-Hulk has like the dress and the super suit and all that. That has not, you know, shown up or played up again or anything like that. We know it's all right. coming, and we know that's going to show up and everything. But I think that that's probably one of the biggest things it does suffer from, is that it's all kind of, it shouldn't be just Jen showing up in each of these episodes, what's holding it together. There should be a story right. that's kind of holding it together. And I think that's why episodes 5 and 6 were just not really hitting it for me, was mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, it's like, I probably could have not watched that and still know what's going on in terms of the series and everything.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think they need to have something that kind of glues it a little bit more together if they do another season, just to, I mean, it's all funny and everything, but,
right.
you know, when it's 9 episodes, I think you felt that with episodes 5 and 6,
right.
that it was just, it could have been taken out and nothing would have happened. I think if it was like a 6-episode series, that's a little bit different, because then, you know, they're kind of compacting everything a little bit more. So they're kind of forced to make sure that it all kind of keeps moving things together. But with this right. being 9 episodes, I get that's a comedy, but something's got to help it move forward and kind of help it, you know, stay together other than Jen shows up, you know?
Right. And I think that one thing that Marvel has to get better at with their shows, because I have enjoyed all the shows. There's not been a show that I've flat out disliked. What If was okay, but there's not been a, right. there's not been a show that I've just flat out disliked. And I think that one of the things that they need to get right that they haven't yet is they can't look at these shows as a movie told in multiple parts. If they're going right. to do a show, they need to do a show. Right. And there are two ways, in my opinion, to do a show, because I've seen them both ways. If you're doing a sitcom that is truly episodic,
mm-hmm.
you don't need the framing device to connect everything. Right. But in order to not have that, you have to have truly self-contained episodes that right. aren't open-ending, unless you're doing like a 2-part, you know, story. But so right. they either need to do that, or they need to adopt the model of, you know, some of the other shows. Like, I hate to use The Boys as an example, because I don't love that show, mm-hmm. but it's a well done show that they, you know, they do a really good job with it.
Right.
And that is that there is an overarching story where they are constantly progressing towards an end goal.
Right.
And I feel like Marvel hasn't done that with either way with this show. I feel like they mm-hmm. tried to do that with some of them. I think Loki probably did that the best, where it would show, where you could feel like you were building towards something in the story.
Yeah.
But I think that with She-Hulk, if they want to make it a sitcom, make it a sitcom. And yeah. then, you know, if you want to add some things in there that show that there's more going on, fine. But to your point that I not to misquote you or anything, but it feels almost rambling at times. Where it's right. like they don't really know what they want to do with it. And I've yeah, enjoyed all the episodes. I really have. But I think that going forward, if they want to do something like this again, because I really hope they do, because I'm really enjoying the show, I think mm-hmm. they need to lean into the sitcom aspect for this. And then for something right. like Daredevil, make it like they did the Netflix shows, where every right. episode of the Netflix show, there was a beginning, a middle, and end of every single episode of that show. Mm-hmm. But there was an overarching story going over it.
Right.
And I think that they need to get better at that overall. Because right. like I said, I've liked them all. I've really enjoyed them all. And there are some that do it better than others. Loki, Hawkeye, mm-hmm. I think they do that really well. But
very well, yeah.
But WandaVision, as fantastic as it was, it kind of meandered with the storyline where you didn't really know what was going on. I know it was a mystery, but I felt like it meandered. Mm-hmm. And then the last couple episodes kind of shifted gears to go towards the end of the plot.
Right.
So I don't know. That's what I hope they do moving forward, is kind of tweak their thought process on how they're making things. Because I do know that they're going into it with the thought process of, okay, this is one movie that we're cutting up into chunks. And I don't think that that's as fulfilling of an experience for a week to week episode, you know, episodic show.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder if it would be different if they just released it all at once as well, too, in terms of the viewing Probably. Experience. Cause I'll say this is that a lot of the shows that I've been watching, I will watch back. I will, you know, watch it, you know, as they drop every week. And then my wife doesn't like to watch it mm-hmm. weekly. She likes to see it all in one sitting, basically. And so what I'll do is I'll watch as it comes out. And then when the final episode's coming out, I'm rewatching the episodes with her. Mm-hmm. And they kind of feel a little bit differently. I don't think it's necessarily that I'm watching it as a movie, but it's just the fact that you kind of have a little bit of a fresher experience in mind in terms of what's going on. Because it used to be with these sitcoms and dramas and things like that, is these little details were not really like little details. They would leave it would be self-contained as an episode, but with the overarching story of like a big, you know, event or big mm-hmm. revelation that helps move it forward. Whereas with these Marvel shows, I think what they're doing is they're putting in a lot of little stuff that mm-hmm. it's easy to look over and forget when you get to the next week. And so you're almost forced to rewatch it, so that way you can catch up on all the little details. And so I think that's been part of it. It's not so much that it's a movie that's cut up into six smaller parts, but they're putting in a lot of story details that doesn't really move forward in your memory right. from week to week, but it does, you know, sit together if you watch it back to back like that. So,
yeah. And I think that the best that made me think of, I don't know if you ever watched How I Met Your Mother, but if anybody's watched How I Met Your Mother, I think it was the second to last season. They had a framing device for every episode that led into the finale of that season, where they were getting ready for a wedding and you didn't know who was getting married.
Right.
Throughout the entire thing, because that was when Barney was engaged to Quinn, to the stripper. And yes. you find out in the very last episode, like all throughout that, mm-hmm. there's the framing device of Ted talking to Barney and you're talking about the bride or whatever. And then you get to the very last episode and you find out that it's not the woman you think it is. It's actually Robin. Sorry, spoilers, but go back and watch it. It's been out for long enough. Right. But I think that was a great representation of how you can have self-contained episodes while also having something that is keeping your attention for where the episode or where the series is going.
Right.
And so it can be done. It's just they have to think about it different. And as far as binging, like even shows like Andor, I don't know if you've watched Andor yet at all or if you're even planning on it, but they dropped the first three episodes at once. And
That's about a planet, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so I watched all three of those back to back at the same time. And the story was great. And those three episodes told one story. If they would have released one episode and I had to wait until the next week, I would not have been hooked. And I'm a massive Star Wars fan.
Right.
And so I think that they just need to rethink either their release schedule or the way that they're making these.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what gets this into that little murky spot is the fact that they're only doing like six episodes. Right. I think I will say this. It's interesting that they're doing 18 episodes for Daredevil. And I want to know what the rationale is and why. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of curious to see if this is going to be an experiment for them to see if they can do and be more successful with an 18 episode series. And I'll say, like, it makes sense why they would do Daredevil, because Daredevil's in the bag for them. Like they can't really mess it up. Not really, you know, like I know some people are going to be like, oh, he's going to be PG-13, so he's going to be nerfed and all that, which is not the case at all. But Daredevil has a huge enough fan base that you can do 18 hours or 18 episodes safely and still get your money's worth on it. But I'm wondering if that they're doing an experiment on it to see, should we go ahead and start planning on doing like full seasons of shows instead of a 6-episode that feels like it's a movie cut up into smaller pieces, but give it its kind of due diligence and everything. And I know people say that, you know, they're working with movie level budgets and things like that, but I mean, television shows are pretty much movie level budgets too. I mean, when you look at a season, you're pretty much spending just as much money in a season of television as you are with a single movie. So I feel like that's never really a fair comparison with that.
Right. And they can also make, especially like something like Daredevil, you don't need the CGI budget. You don't need the special effects that you would need with other things. You can do that cheaper. And I think that they've got plenty of characters where they can have a larger season on the same budget that they would have for 6 episodes of, like, I think that they probably could have done Falcon and Winter Soldier for cheaper than they did.
Right.
You know, other than the flying scenes with Sam, but I, you know, I think they could have probably made that a little cheaper. So I don't know. Maybe that, I don't know. Sorry, I cut you off. Go on.
No. I was pretty much done with that. So, but I mean, it's interesting to hear how they think through these things, because just today they announced that Armor Wars is going to go from a series to a movie. And I'd be really intrigued to find out what made them decide that.
Right.
And what makes you decide that it should be a movie versus a series, when just like what you were saying, you know, some of this is feeling like it's being cut up. It's a movie being cut up and everything. And so I'm just kind of curious to find out from them at some point, you know, what was that deciding factor that made them realize that this is better a movie than it is a series? And is it really the storytelling aspect, or was it a budgetary thing, or what it was exactly? But I'm just kind of curious, because I don't think we've ever had an instance before where they had first thought, let's do this as a series, but now let's change it to a movie, because we've you know, like, this is uncharted territory to have a property that's having both of these kinds of things in the same universe. So
I don't know. It does make you wonder why they would change one, and especially something like Armor Wars. I don't know. I had that, you just dropped that. I had not heard that. So
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That's awesome. I'm so all right. The way that some people are feeling about the fact that Daredevil hasn't showed up in this show, that's how I feel about them being silent about Armor Wars. They announced it. I was so excited for it. And, and then there's just nothing for so long. So any movement on that at all makes me happy. But yeah, I don't know why they would change, from TV to movie. I don't know.
It'd just be interesting to see like how they made that decision, you know?
Absolutely. And,
So anyways, but I mean, overall, I think this episode was really good. When I posted my TikTok video about my thoughts on it, someone made a good point of how they said, we're going to get Daredevil next episode. And one of my mutuals, Bumpkins TV, I think you guys had him on your show before. He posed the same question, which I think I may have asked this question. No, I asked a question. I said, oh, has this been confirmed somewhere? And I think he responded and said, like, no, it hasn't been confirmed. There's nothing, you know, or confirmed. It hasn't. There's nothing that said this is actually happening. But the person made a good point that said, more than likely, though, he's not going to show up in the last episode.
Right.
Because there's only 30 minutes and you're not going to put Daredevil in with the finale of trying to resolve what's been going on the whole season. And so it sounds like, I mean, with that logic, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a really good point. So it sounds like we probably will get Daredevil in the next episode. But I will say this. Have you seen that video I made about what would be great to troll the fanboys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, yeah, I'll share this with your audience as well, too. So I think it would be, honestly, if they do this, I would one, lose my mind, because I've never guessed anything right before in any sort of theory. But I think it would be brilliant. This would be at the same level as when we got Evan Peters show up in WandaVision. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought that Quicksilver and the mutants were returning now, right?
Ralph Boner.
I know. Yeah. And so this would be that same level. What if Daredevil shows up, you know, we get our moment with him, and he interacts with She-Hulk and Jim Walters and everything. And then at the end of that episode, at the ender, he's walking away from Jennifer and he's kind of out of sight. And he turns into a female Skrull. And so to keep all the fanboys, you know, on edge, like watching, tuning in every week just to find out that it's not even Daredevil to begin with. Yep. It's another female green woman. It would be fantastic.
It would be excellent. It would be,
and it would make sense because Skrull Invasion's coming up soon too. So it would be hilarious if they did that.
Yeah, if they do that, and you called that on a whim, on a theory, I don't know what I would do, man.
I would be, I'll tell you what, I would be stitching that video and be like, holy crap. But oh my God, it would be insane. Like I would ham it up for all it's worth and be like, I can't believe I got this right, because this is just like winning the lottery. Uh-huh. And I'll probably never be right about anything ever else again, you know? But
it would make them go crazy.
If they don't do it. Yeah. I think it would just be a funny idea that, you know, I think they would get, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think it'd be hilarious if they did that, basically, you know. Yeah. And I think that'd be the ultimate troll for some of these fanboys, where they're like, I'm only in it just to see Daredevil, you know, and then that's what God was that. Well, they've been trolling them like this whole time.
They really have. They even there was even a line on this in this episode where she's like, I don't care about what a couple of sad losers on the internet have to say about me. I was just like, I love it. I'm loving all of it. I think it's hilarious. But I also think that, you know, all these people that are so excited to see Daredevil that are whining that he hasn't showed up yet. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for him to be. I want him to be so vastly different from the Netflix show. I want him to be quippy and goofy. I want silly, just to see their head spin. Because, you know, you've made videos about it. We've talked about it on here. Daredevil's not always dark, gloomy, and brooding. He's got a sense of humor. And I think it would be hilarious to bring. And they've already said that he's not going to be as dark because this is a comedy show. I want him to come out there saying the most ridiculous one-liner just to make people mad.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll be happy to see him whether he's like that or not. I don't care if he's dark and brooding or if it's Charlie Cox just being charming and adorable. I mean, I know Charlie Cox from Stardust. That was the first time I saw him. So he can be charming and funny. He doesn't just have to be dark and Catholic depressed.
I think he was in an episode or two of Downton Abbey too, if I remember correctly. I think so. Like, he wasn't in it for very long, but if I remember correctly, I think he was the kind of character that had questionable ethics and morality. Mm-hmm. Which is not too far different from Matt Murdock, because he's Catholic, and yet, you know, he sleeps with all these women and beats people up and all that. But hey, you know, he goes to confession. That's okay, right? You know, when you talk about goofy and campy and how people are just like, you know, upset with that, like, let's not forget about the I'm Not Daredevil sweatshirt that he wore in the Mark Wade run, which, by the way, I know I told you this already too, but I met the writer Mark Wade over the weekend at Memphis Comic Expo and got the issue that panel is from. I looked around like the last month trying to find out, finally found it. I got Mark to sign it. I dressed up in the I'm Not Daredevil costume. So I had the sweatshirt, I had the candy cane, the red sunglasses. I didn't have the devil ear horns because all the ones I found on Amazon would like had to be tied to your hair and I'm bald, so wasn't going to work. But I wore this hat, so I'm like, that works, you know. When Mark saw me, he immediately got up and took a picture with me because he thought it was great. But at his panel, it was really interesting because he had talked about when he started to write Daredevil, you know, the story had already been told about how he's been, you know, this kind of character. And he wanted to visit that other part of his character that was a little bit more lighthearted, but also, you know, dealt with real issues while at the same time have a happy ending, because Matt Murdock did not have a happy ending. It's like everybody he ever got close to just end up, you know, going away or dying or whatever. And so that's one of the things about comics when we talk about comic accurate. And I know we talked about this on the show too, is I don't subscribe to that idea at all, because the characters have changed in some form or fashion over the years by different writers. You know, I would even say with Batman, when we look at Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's run, they did a great job of capturing the spirit of Batman, but they also made him, you know, more of a humorous, wisecracking, you know, crack jokes kind of person as well too. And I thought they did a good job of that. And not all the Batman comics were ever like that. And so to say that Daredevil can only be represented in one way is really inaccurate, to say the least. And I think it's something that we've talked about before, to try to just do a panel to panel, page to page interpretation of a comic book is just boring. Because at that point, it's like, why would you want to watch something that you probably already have the issue for or can get a hold of it if it's just, you know, translated for that? And it's different when it's a novel, because a novel is all words and no, you know, pictures or visuals or anything like that. And so there's a lot that can be left with the imagination. But when it comes to a visual medium like comic books, if you're pretty much just translating that as a carbon copy instead of having the experience and having the opportunity to tell a different story, these characters in a new universe that is not Earth 616, which I know people probably fight with me and say that this is our 616, and that's another episode for another day. So.
Right. Just another thing that Doctor Strange screwed up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, I made a video the other day about my favorite Doctor Strange comics. And I said, here's a list of them. And I just stayed silent the whole time. And I said, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as you're talking about with, like, when it comes to interpreting a character that has had so many years of comics under their belt, like I did a video about Robert Downey Jr. and how, you know, Iron Man wasn't popular until Robert Downey Jr. came on, because he was not a likable character in the comics, like on purpose. That was the reason for him being created. Stan Lee said that multiple times.
Right.
And, I was thinking about the reason why Robert Downey Jr. was the perfect casting for Iron Man is because they took all of the different character traits that he's had throughout the years, and they found somebody that could fit that very well. Is he a perfect representation to how he is on the page? It depends on who's writing him. If you're doing one of the, if you're talking about something since he got cast, then yeah, a lot of times in the comic books, he's very much like Robert Downey Jr. because they took cues from that. But if you go back to the 60s, it's nothing the same at all, other than the fact that he's charming. You know, he can talk to girls well. And so when it comes to having a slavish devotion to the way that a character should be portrayed, I think you're doing a disservice to the character instead of being open-minded. That's like going into a new comic run and being like, well, he didn't write this character that I love exactly the same way that this last guy did, therefore I hate it. And when you talked about Batman, you know, at the time that Scott Snyder run was out, there were multiple other writers writing Batman. Pete Tomasi and Batman and Robin wrote a very different Batman than Scott Snyder did at the same time. So people need to calm down about that and understand. And I know this was a long-winded conversation just about how Daredevil is going to show up in She-Hulk, but I think it's important for people to measure their expectations when they are going into something, to stop expecting a character always to be one way when they're not that way in the comics. Why would they be that way in the movies? You know, it's silly to me.
Yeah. And just like you said, like with all the different interpretations, because again, it's a little bit different when you're talking about books, because books don't have this long history, the characters being, you know, taking on different kinds of personalities over the years and everything. But with comics, you know, it's just like what anyone would tell you, is like, you know, it's always up to the writer in terms of how they want to tell the story. And it's the same thing with movies. It's up to the writers and the directors how they want to tell the story. And, you know, that's what we get. And so if you're going in expecting to see a certain thing, like I'll say this, Secret Wars, right? Prime example of it, because everyone has been talking about how Secret Wars needs to include mutants in it. And I have said that not necessarily, just because it has a title doesn't mean it's going to be the same thing, right? Like the Civil War, you know, the idea was the same, but there was things that changed. So the Civil War in the comics was about the Superhuman Registration Act, I think is what it's called, you know, which with both superheroes that had superpowers and mutants. Whereas this one was the Sokovian Accords, because again, we didn't have mutants in the MCU and everything. And so with Secret Wars, it's the same thing. It's, you know we're expecting it to be the event Secret Wars, but maybe it's kicking off what ends up being Secret Wars. And so this isn't something that it will show us what will happen and how it ends with the comic run, but this is how it kicks off, because we're only in phase four. We're getting to phase five, phase six, and phase four through six is a quicker time frame than what we had with phase one through three, which was what, like
one through three 11 was years? 11 years. Yeah.
It was 11 years, and four, five, and six was half that. So we might not be getting to the end of the multiverse saga until phase, you know, eight or nine or something like that. And so that might be when we get to those phases, we see the ending of Secret Wars and just be called something else. But everyone's expecting, because it's called Secret Wars, they're already framing the context of this is what needs to happen. And, you know, to do anything else, you know, would otherwise be an abomination, pun intended.
Well, and also with bringing up Secret Wars, I also feel like people don't realize there have been multiple crossover events called Secret Wars. There hasn't just been one. And in the most recent Secret Wars, that was an Avengers and, you know, Fantastic Four more than anything. You know, the mutants didn't play that large of a role in that. And so I think people need to kind of, first off, people, quick PSA to anybody watching or listening, just just go into this with an open mind, leave your expectations at the door, and watch whatever these filmmakers are making and giving you, and judge it on the work themselves, not on your preconceived notions, not on what you think they should have done, not on what you hope they should have done, because none of those matter, because you're one singular person, and this is a group of people that have come together to make a specific piece of art and a specific piece of media for you to ingest the way that they have presented it to you. So I think the biggest problem with modern, well, not only modern, just people for a very long time, of film goers and especially like quote unquote film pundits, because there've become so many of them over the years, is that they think that they devour everything they can about the project before they go see it, and have already gotten the movie or the TV show in their head the way that it's going to be. And if it's not like that, it was a failure.
Right.
And if people would stop doing that, they would have a lot more fun. I went into She-Hulk expecting to laugh. And you know what? I've laughed. I also went into She-Hulk expecting She-Hulk to be sexy. And you know what? She-Hulk has been sexy. I haven't brought that up for a couple of weeks. You haven't been on here, so I had to bring up the fact that I think She-Hulk is sexy. Just
only when I'm on, right?
Only when Sean's on, yeah.
That concerns me, the association you have for me and the sexiness of She-Hulk.
Oh, man.
So speaking of Secret Wars, I don't want to get too much of a tangent, but since you brought it up, I got to say this, especially with the announcement of Deadpool 3. I just really hope they do something with Deadpool Secret Wars.
I hope so, too. Even if it's just like a mention, I want them to do something with it.
Like a short, like, you know, 10 minute one shot or something like that. Like one, I think Ryan Reynolds would love that idea. And I think he would just absolutely, I mean, if you think about it, Deadpool 2 would be a prime example of like how he went back to X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
And, or I'm sorry, X-Men Origins Wolverine, and how he kind of got inserted into footage. Like that's exactly what Deadpool Secret Wars was for the most part. Was they took that old original Secret Wars back in the 80s, I think, and inserted Deadpool in these certain moments, and everyone's like, who is this guy, you know? But it's pretty much a page for page, except Deadpool's in it and people are interacting with Deadpool at that part. So I think it'd be great if they did that, but I gotta say, I never thought we would actually see Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman returning as Deadpool and Wolverine in the same movie.
I gotta be honest.
Like, I lost it when they announced it.
I'm still not 100% convinced they're actually doing it.
Oh, really?
It's so unbelievable to me that I have not allowed myself to truly believe. Like, I can see them coming out in a couple of days and being like, yeah, that was supposed to be a joke and you all just kind of ran with it. I don't think that's what it is. I really don't. I don't think so.
Here's... Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying, the way that they announced it, And the fact that somebody from Marvel didn't immediately cut it off and it ran in all the trades and it's been gone. And then they did a second video trolling people like they're going to actually tell them. I don't know if you saw the second video. I know you have questions, like, and they played the music over top of it. So I don't think that in any way, but I have not allowed myself to truly believe that that's going to happen. I know it's going to, and I'm excited for it. But
yes. Well, and here's what I'll say about why I don't question it at all, is because Ryan Reynolds does not joke about that.
That's true.
Like he knows that if he were ever to do that sort of thing, like, he would quickly lose the trust of the Deadpool fans immediately, and would get, you know, hated for it. And it's not that he wouldn't do it for that reason, but I think that he was so committed and takes care of the character so much that he doesn't want to send out any false hope if there isn't a real chance that something's going to happen, you know, because I know he was really upset with how his character was portrayed in X-Men Wolverine. And like, this was, you know, he loved the fact that he was able to finally portray it in the right way and everything. And it's hard to, it's kind of like Robert Downey Jr. It's hard to separate Deadpool from Ryan Reynolds now, because he just embodied the character so much that you think of him. And I think he, you know, sees that as a huge part of his legacy, and he wants to take care of that and will not joke about something like that as a prank or anything at all. So that's why I never had any doubt that when he announced it, that it was sincere and real, because I don't think he would have taken that lightly at all or made a joke out of that. He's just not that kind of guy.
Right.
Like, he's a jokester, but when it comes to something like that, I think he really pays attention to and takes care of the fans when it comes to Deadpool.
Yeah. And speaking of Robert Downey Jr., he had to throw some coal on the fire. Did you see that? The tweet that he put out?
Deleted.
Yeah, he deleted it. And look, now I don't think for a second, I do, even though I say I'm in disbelief, I know that the announcement was real. I know that that was a real announcement. But the tweet that Robert Downey Jr. put out, where he retweeted the poster with the slash marks through it, and it said, "Wolverine coming back from the dead, ... sounds like a fun idea."
Yeah.
And then everybody lost their mind, and then he deleted the tweet.
Yeah. He was probably like, that is not what I was going for.
Yeah. I don't think that's like what he was going for at all, but I saw that and I just thought, man, what would I give? Because as much as I've said for a long time that I'm happy with the amount of Iron Man that I got, I never would have thought, if you'd have told me when I was like a 10-year-old kid watching Iron Man, the animated series, that someday I would get almost 20 movies where Iron Man is like the star.
Yeah.
I never would have believed it. So I'm happy with what we got. But man, damn, would I love to see Robert Downey Jr. come back as well.
I got to say, I would not put it past Marvel for them in like 15 or 20 years, maybe 15, because again, Robert Downey Jr. is like, what, almost 60 now?
Yeah.
If they do like a old team Avengers or Wastelanders type of, not necessarily like entire movie, but they integrated it into some sort of other movie where they, you know, cross dimensions or do another time travel type of thing for whatever reason, but bring in the original Avengers team to do like one last battle for that movie. Kind of like what they did in Star Trek Generations, where they had James Kirk show up for one more thing with Captain Picard. I could see them doing that, because again, nostalgia is a huge thing, and I bet you they have that in the plans to say, we're at some point, not now, because everything is still fresh, we want to get a nice like break off, but when the moment's right, we want to bring in the original Avengers as an homage to say, here's one last stand for them or whatever. Because again, they're bringing everybody in from like the other properties to play their characters and everything.
You know, it would be a great spot for them to do that. Would be Secret Wars.
Yeah.
If they do,
I think it's too soon for that though.
I do too, but I'm saying that if they're doing the Secret Wars, the Hickman Secret Wars, which they're kind of leading to with the incursions that they talked about.
Right.
Then they can have a battle world full of any variant that they want. And they can have one where one of the worlds that was comprised of it is one where Tony didn't die, and they could bring him back in. I don't know that they'll do that, because I know that he's also been pretty hesitant. You know, he's been asked about it. So I don't know. I just want to see him back as Iron Man again. I don't care.
Yeah. And I think they're not, I think they're planning it, but they're not going to do it lightly either. I think it's just like, John Krasinski with Mr. Fantastic. I think they're waiting for that right moment for the story to line up and say, this makes total sense. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And that's when they're going to bring it. But I have no doubt that they're going to bring him back. They're going to bring that whole team back in at some point.
Yeah.
To reprise the roles, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know how much money that's going to make when they do that?
Oh, a lot.
It's going to make all the money.
It's almost like No Way Home.
Like No Way Home when they brought in Toby and Andrew. It's going to make all the money.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, Sean, we have long since stopped talking about She-Hulk, so we should probably wrap up this episode before people get tired of hearing us prattle on. Because if I don't, then we will continue going for at least another hour.
Yeah.
And I don't think my voice can handle it. So do you have any other thoughts on She-Hulk before we wrap up here?
I mean, I'm happy with this episode. I'll be honest, we're still kind of on our edge of our seat in terms of what's going to happen in these next two episodes, how Daredevil is going to fit into this a little bit. And I think we know that someone's out to get Jen's blood, but hopefully in the next two episodes, they kind of hone in on that instead of like waiting at the last episode. But overall, I mean, this was still really good. And I think it's kind of setting those things up now that we see what happened at the end. I think the next two episodes are probably going to get a little bit more serious in terms of the plot and everything. So I'm really excited to see how it turns out. And next week, hopefully we'll get Daredevil and we'll see how that goes.
Ditto. I can't put it better. I agree with literally everything you just said. So man, Sean, thank you so much for being on. You want to tell everybody where they can find you and maybe what you got? I know you just dropped a new episode. When this comes out, it'll be Friday. Either way, you just dropped a new episode. Yeah. They need to go check out.
I mean, we used to do it twice a month, but now we've been doing it weekly. And so our last episode was with writer David Pepos, who's currently writing Savage Avengers, which is a great run, by the way. If you haven't been reading it, I highly recommend checking it out. I've never been interested in Savage Avengers, but I picked it up and holy crap, it's really cool. So at any rate, you can find me on social media under the username Caption Life, spelled CapTinedLife. And then you can check out all of our episodes and pretty much everything about our show at thecaptionlife.com.
Make sure you go and check out Sean. Give him a follow on TikTok, especially because it's always a good time to. I'm so excited whenever I see a video of his pop up.
I just like to do silly stuff, so.
And they're always great.
Oh, you know what's funny? I know we talked about this, but I got a notification saying someone liked a video I was mentioned in.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and I was like, it's a video I made back last year, like during the holidays. And it's one that you stitched.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, is Derek like just now responding to a holiday video? No, it's because Bob liked the video that you made a year ago. I'm like, what?
Oh, Bob. Just Bob doing Bob things. Mm-hmm. We love him.
Anyway, sorry.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell. If you're listening on the podcast, rate and review us on whatever platform you're on. Follow us on all the social medias. There will be a link to that in the description of this episode. And also, if you're on TikTok and you're following us already, give Silver Screen Scoundrels a follow. Bob's getting the hang of it. He'll like all your videos if you follow him, I'm sure. So thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. Sean, thanks for being here. For Sean,
thanks for having me.
I've been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.
Yay!